Our second scripture reading is from the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 5 through 13, and I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So a couple of weeks ago, we had some landscaping done at our house. And some of the things we had done, there was a small tree out front that we had moved into the backyard. And there were some places around where we had some bushes taken out and grass seed laid down. So now I go out in the yard a couple of times, every day for the past couple of weeks. I have to go out there and water the tree that was transplanted and water the spots where this grass seed has been put down. So I go out in the yard and I just stand there with a hose for about 10 to 15 minutes every day. And it is boring. It is probably my least favorite part of the day. I have started enlisting the kids to come out and help me with it, just to break up the monotony. And the thing is, I love working in the yard, but this is different. Like, this is literally standing there watching grass grow. And the hardest part about it is, you can't really see any progress from day to day. I mean, I hope that this tree is taking root, but I have no idea. I could be doing all of this for nothing. I hope that grass is growing where we put down seed, but it's covered by like hay and netting, so it's kind of hard to tell. I go out there and do this day after day with no indication that it is actually working. All the growth is taking place underground, beneath the surface where you can't see it. But if we want this tree to take root and grow, if we want this grass to grow, we have to water it each day. It may feel tedious and monotonous, but it is absolutely essential for growth. And just this past week, I was out watering the spot where we took out a big bush and put down grass seed. It's a big spot, so it takes a lot of water. I was out there with Brandon, and we got down and looked real close. And we could see these little green shoots starting to come up. And then the day after we had that big rainstorm earlier this week, I walked out to take the kids to the bus. We walked out the back door, and it's the first thing you see when you come out. And it was just green. It was like overnight, all this grass had just shot up. And I got unreasonably excited about it. The kids were telling me, "Why is this a big deal?" But here was proof, like visible, tangible evidence that the work and the time that I was putting in was paying off. Like, I could see growth. And once I could see that, it made me want to get out there each day and keep watering. Watering the grass is a lot like prayer. It takes time and effort and consistency. And the challenge is that you can't always see proof that it's working, because all the growth is taking place underneath the surface. But if we want to have a relationship with God, if we want our faith to take root and grow, then we have to water it. Prayer is absolutely essential for spiritual growth. 5 weeks ago, I shared with you the challenges that I've been experiencing in my own relationship with God. How for a year or more, I had just been empty. You know, my prayer life was non-existent. I hadn't been praying regularly, and I hadn't had any real sense of God's presence with me for a long time. It was what the 16th century Spanish mystic St. John of the Cross referred to as the dark night of the soul. It's this experience where you still believe in God, you still have faith, but you lose a sense of the presence or the imminence, the nearness, and the love of God in your life. And I've been struggling with that for a while. And so in the midst of that, at the beginning of September, I attended a two-day prayer school in St. Joseph, Missouri, outside Kansas City. 2 days where the pastor of this church where we gather, a man named Brian Zahn, he taught about 90 of us the model of prayer that he had been practicing every day for about the past 20 years. And at the end of that prayer school, we committed, all of us who were there, committed to practicing these same prayers every day for the next 40 days. From September 8th until October 17th, every morning, for about 30 to 40 minutes. And so I would get up each day at 6 a.m., sometimes 5 if I had an early meeting or if I just couldn't sleep. I would get up and I would go downstairs into a room by myself and shut the door and I prayed. Eternal God, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Israel, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have mercy and hear our prayer. O Lord, open our lips and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And then I read a psalm corresponding with the day of the year. So if it's like the first day of the year, you read Psalm 1. If it's the 140th day, you read Psalm 140, all the way up to Psalm 150, and then you circle around and start over again. So I read a psalm, and then I read the gospel reading from the lectionary, the calendar of prescribed scripture readings for each week. And then I would say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So you'll notice that for the first 5 minutes or so, I'm not praying my own words. I'm praying scripture, psalms, other written prayers and liturgy. But now I reach the point where I pray for my family. And this is where I have the freedom to pray my own words. And so I pray for Jen. I pray for each of the kids. I pray for my mom, for my brother and his wife, for my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, for my mother-in-law and father-in-law. I pray for all of our family. And then back to the Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And then I pray the Lord's Prayer again, but it's like an expanded version where I pray each line and then kind of unpack it and reflect on what it means for me, praying it with my own words. Our Father, who art in heaven, eternal and loving Abba, who rules and reigns over all, hallowed be thy name. May your name be kept holy on my lips and in my life this day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. May your rule and reign be made real and manifest in my life on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I pray, Lord, that you would provide me with everything I need physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally to live and be whole and serve you today. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do not let me follow my own inclinations this day, Lord, but set my feet on your right path that leads to life. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Do not let me seek my own will today, Lord. Let me seek yours. Do not let me trust in my own power today, Lord. Let me trust in yours. Do not let me seek my own glory today. Let me seek yours. Amen. And then I spend a few minutes praying for whoever and whatever I want. I pray for the church, that we would grow in spirit. I pray for our elders, deacons, and trustees each day. I pray for those who are sick and those who are taking care of them, those who struggle with addiction, for my friends, for the world around us, whatever problems are going on. I just have a list and I pray my way through that. And after that, I'll spend about maybe 10 minutes just sitting in silence, just being with Jesus. And that's kind of the heart of that time of prayer, is that time spent in silence, just not doing or saying anything, just sitting there, mindful that I am in the presence of God, just spending time with Jesus. And there's more after that. There are prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. I pray the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I pray the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Now, the reason that I wanted to walk through this with you was so that you could see that my prayers each day are very structured. I hardly even have to think about what I'm going to say, which allows me to reflect on what I am saying. And over these past 40 days, saying it over and over, the same prayers each day, I've started to internalize it. I'm memorizing it. It's becoming a part of me. It's like we talked about last week, when there is a structure to our faith, when it is shaped and guided by specific, concrete religious practices and traditions, that is what opens us up to the movement of the Spirit and a connection with God. Now, there are some days when my alarm goes off at 6 a.m. and it is dark and cold outside, but it is warm in bed. or I had a late meeting the night before, or maybe it's even my day off, so I don't really need to get up that early to pray. I can just do it after the kids go to school. And I think, you know, I can just stay in bed right now and I can do this later. There are times, I'll be honest with you, there are times when prayer feels like a chore. When getting up that early, that regimented day after day, it feels like a chore. It feels like watering the grass. Because you can't always see proof that it's working. But the purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what we want. The purpose of prayer is to be properly formed. To be formed in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And that formation takes place beneath the surface. When you feed your soul with the waters of prayer day after day, roots are growing, even if you can't see them, even if you can't feel them yet. And then one day, almost by surprise, you start noticing growth. You start noticing, oh, this feels different. This looks a little bit different. And when you see that, it makes you want to get up and do this each day. Jesus was at the home of Mary and Martha. And he's sitting around in the living room talking with his disciples, taking a break after going all around teaching and healing people. Martha is running around getting everything ready. She's preparing the meal. She's making sure that everyone has drinks. I mean, this was Jesus. Like, everything has to be perfect. He is in your home. It says that she was distracted by her many tasks. But her sister Mary, it says, sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. Well, Martha complains to Jesus, I'm running around, I'm doing all the work, while my sister's just sitting here. Tell her to help me. To which Jesus says, Martha, Martha. You know when Jesus says your name twice, you're in trouble. Or he's just trying to get your attention so you'll stop and listen. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Now Mary's not doing anything. She's just sitting with Jesus, listening to him, spending time with him. And at its heart, that's what prayer is. Spending time with Jesus. Sitting with him. Listening to him. Maybe asking some questions here and there. Having a conversation. A lot of us are so busy that we feel like we don't have time each morning or each day to pray. We hear this and we're like, 30 to 40 minutes. Like, that's a lot. I don't have time for that. I've got to get up and get ready and get going, and I've got things to do. I didn't think I had time either until I started doing it. Until I chose the better part of sitting with Jesus, listening to him, spending time with him, rather than running around distracted by my many tasks. You make time for the things that are important to you. And what in your life is more important than knowing your Creator? Because when you know the one who created you, you start to understand what you were created for. You know, it's funny, the very next thing that happens after this story of Mary and Martha is that it says Jesus was praying. Even Jesus needed to pray and nurture his relationship with God. And it says that when he had finished, the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. We all need to be taught how to pray, don't we? I mean, this isn't something that comes naturally to us. At some point in your life, someone taught you how to pray. Now, your parents or a pastor or someone taught you a pattern of prayer. And we all need to keep learning new patterns of prayer, because eventually we grow out of the ones we were taught, or they stop working for us. That's why I traveled halfway across the country to a prayer school to be taught how to pray. There's no shame in saying, I need help with this, teach me how. And when Jesus answers his disciples, he doesn't just say, well, when you pray, just say whatever you want. God's listening, just talk. Jesus says, when you pray, say this. And he teaches them a specific prayer. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us and do not bring us to a time of trial. Now that's a little different than the version that we say here each week, right? And when you look over at Matthew's gospel, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. He says to them, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. So he's saying, go somewhere private where it's just you and God. Now, of course, you can pray anywhere in a time of need, in your car, at work, in a hospital, or wherever you are and you need to pray, you can do that. But what Jesus is saying is in these regimented practices of prayer, go somewhere where you can focus, you're not distracted, it's just you and God. And don't heap up empty phrases and just say whatever. He says, pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Now that's a little different than the other version in Luke's gospel. But still, Jesus gave his disciples a specific prayer to pray. He gives them structure, a framework to follow. And those two prayers are different, which I think shows us that within that structure and that framework, there is freedom. When I pray each day, I pray specific prayers. And there's some room for freedom within that, but I need to be structured. I want to be formed in that way. And I understand that not everyone likes praying liturgy or saying fixed prayers over and over again. Some people will say, a liturgy, that's, it's rote and it's boring and it's lifeless. It just feels kind of dead. I just want to talk to God and feel the Spirit move. But liturgy is neither dead nor alive. It's words. The person praying them is either dead or alive. Think of it this way. Have you ever seen roses growing? They climb up that trellis, right? You see roses climbing up a trellis. No one looks at a trellis and says, oh, I hate that trellis. It's just so boring and lifeless and dead. It's not dead or alive. It's just a structure. But it provides the framework for growth to take place. We have been given these rich resources for prayer. We've been given a gift by the centuries, the thousands of years of faithful people who have come before us. We don't have to find the words all on our own. We don't have to reinvent the wheel and figure this out on our own. When you pray, you can use the words of those who came before us. The Psalms, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, any number of other books or resources for prayer. I'd be happy to share with you the one that I use. But it's that structure that can help growth take place. That intentional practice of specific prayer. And eventually, using their language, those who came before us, it can enrich our own language of prayer. Prayer is about being properly formed. And their words can form and inform our own words. We all need to make time in our lives to nurture our relationship with God. And we don't need to be afraid to ask for help in doing that. I want to end the way that I end my prayers each morning, so please pray with me. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Amen. And amen.